The Shift Show, Captain's Log, Episode 20. In this episode, Dwayne and Joe slip into the quantum multiverse of teams and discover a new type of channel that can exist in two places at once. Is this new shared channel feature in teams what we've been waiting for? Let's go to Black Alert, fire up the Spore Drive, and find out. Computer, let's fly. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Maybe talk about my win a little bit at the end, but definitely a little more refreshed after after my previous win that was successful. So we'll leave that for the end.
Wow, you're leading off the episode with win. You must be super excited about it.
some survival, you know, some things in there like that. So that's a good thing.
Surviving is always a win, I would say.
Yes, it is.
Before we get to that, there's been a little bit of a win for teams, I think. Some new stuff coming out that's a kind of a game changer.
We always say sharing is caring, and we've got more ways to share.
Yep. That's a good intro into our topic, which is going to be shared channels inside of Microsoft Teams, which is not exactly out yet, but we felt like this is a big enough deal. This is gonna cause a major shift, if you will, in how you use Teams and how you collaborate internally and in some cases even externally. So despite this feature not being live yet, we feel like it's really important to talk about, and people should get used to it because it's coming and you got to be ready.
So we've got this new shared channels. We've got private channels. We've got standard channels. So I think you're going to start us off with kind of just walking through what are the basics of channels, maybe a quick review of why we use them, how you kind of govern them, roll them out.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah, this is pretty fresh on our minds because our champions community within the university, we just did a meeting about, you know, channels. We called it a channels deep dive. And then our Cloudy County Extension community, we also covered channels because we're going through a Microsoft Teams fundamentals kind of series there, multi-month journey through Teams and the various bits and pieces that it can do, because it's, I don't know if you've been around for the last couple of years, but Teams is kind of a big deal and there's a lot of things to unpack there, but this is even more stuff that it can do. So one of the building blocks, I would say, of Teams is the capability to create a team, which is a group of people that have come together for a common cause. They're going to, it's a department, a extension office, a committee, whatever you want to call it. Inside of that team, there's this organizational tool that you can create called a channel, which is a dedicated workspace inside of this team. So we like to use a house analogy where you've got a house and your whole family's in the house. That's your team. And then inside of that house, you have different rooms for different purposes. You have kitchens for cooking and prepping food. You've got dining rooms for eating it. You've got living rooms for chilling out and watching TV. You know, all those rooms have a different purpose. And just like that, channels have a different purpose. They usually follow a particular topic, or some might use the word work stream. Like if you've got a larger team, maybe it's an entire research center, you might have a maintenance channel where you could post requests or report something was broken, or somebody could, you know, give you an update on the status of the air conditioning unit. I don't know, but anything related to maintenance. Or you could have a HR channel where they post updates about new forms or employee onboarding processes and stuff like that. So that's kind of a rundown of standard channels. Are you an extension agent just getting started with Teams? Or maybe you're experienced, but you're looking to improve your digital cloud skill set? Are you an IT pro supporting extension programs at your university? Well, you're invited to join us in a community working to empower extension agents and their support staff to skill up and learn together. If you're interested, visit aka.ms/join Cloudy County to sign up and join us for monthly training sessions and open discussion with your hosts of the Shift Show. Cloudy County Extension, essential cloud skills for extension by extension.
It's a workspace, and we commonly hear these channels are kind of where the work gets done. Like you said, you have you're going to get a general channel as a standard channel, and that's typically we do announcements there. But when you start having some way in which you want to focus some discussion around some type of project, that's when you start building out your channels and start thinking of channels. And usually a standard channel is the first thing we go with.
Yeah.
But then we have private channels. That was something that was added. It didn't come with Teams out of the box. And going along with the house analogy, I'm thinking maybe that is something like a wine cellar. Maybe that's got a lock.
Ooh, that's a fancy house.
Yeah, okay. maybe you've got a little wine cellar, and it's locked. So you can get into the house, you can see, know that the wine cellar exists, but maybe just the parents have a key to that. And that's where, again, you're going to go and do something different, in that space, in this channel, where everybody in the team could potentially access this private channel. You've got to be a team member. You got to be in this parent team before that happens, before you can join a private channel. But that might be a place where there's a subset of team members that want to do some type of work. You mentioned HR. So this sometimes is a scenario where you have a departmental team an entire college department, let's say, and there's an HR channel, and maybe just a couple administrators, maybe a dean, director have access to that channel along with the staff that are responsible for HR. And that's a place to save the documents that are just under their purview, and not everybody in the team should be seeing that information. That's one of the scenarios where we commonly talk about private channels.
You know, when Teams first came out, we would hear very frequently from people, you know, they would say, hey, I've got a team and I want to figure out how to add Bob to this channel. And at the time, the only channel that existed was what's known as a standard channel. And standard channels are available to anybody who's in the team. You can all equally collaborate, post messages, and work on files and stuff like that in a standard channel. And so we had to tell them, we're like, that's not how it works. If you want to have that kind of workspace with Bob, you need to make a whole new team. And that was kind of a difficult pill to swallow. And it made private channels a little bit, I don't know, like, I'm not a huge fan of them because I'm all about open collaboration and stuff, but I get it. I know there's a need for them in some cases, like your example of HR. Maybe you've got a department-wide team and you have a subset of admins that need a private place to communicate, and they need a private place to post some documents, maybe employee reviews or something like that, that you don't want everybody looking at. A private channel is probably a pretty good place to do that, and it prevents you from having to be in a completely separate team.
Some teams sprawl there. It can help.
Yeah, them. Yeah. Like, we're in a lot of teams, so I don't want to be in any more teams. So private channels were helpful for that. But they have some limitations. So we usually advise our users, like, if you're trying to do anything beyond just posting messages and sharing files, a private channel is not going to be right for you. So there's some wizardry going on behind the scenes to make a private channel work. And it lacks some of the features of Teams. Like, you can't use Planner. You can't schedule a meeting in a private channel. You can start a meet now meeting, but it, you know, and technically I know there's some workarounds out there on the internet that people have posted that you can, if you're an IT person, likely can figure out how to make a meeting schedule happen, but it's not, we concentrate more on like real world end user experience, and it's just not, it's not there yet. So
yeah, in a private channel, I think where maybe you've got reviewing some important documents, having a scheduled meeting could probably be kind of important. So missing that, you know, is definitely a feature that we wish was there. And maybe someday will be there, or maybe there's a new feature that comes out that enables that.
Yeah, maybe it's there now.
Yeah.
So big, gigantic asterisk on this. Microsoft has a track record of announcing a timeline for a feature and then updating it 5, 6, 7 times and delaying it. But as of right now, the recording and airing of this podcast, Microsoft is saying that the general availability of Microsoft Teams shared channels is going to be mid-July through August of 2022. So right now it's in preview mode, but by next month, theoretically, you might see it. So Joe, what you want to take us through? We just talked about private channels, and now we have this new thing called shared channels. How do we, what are the basics of a shared channel, and how do we get started with, like, when would you use one and what is it?
The user interface for creating a channel, you're going to get another drop down. You're going to get the right now you'll see a standard channel, a private channel, and eventually you'll see a shared channel. So from the user perspective, it's going to integrate just the same way you kind of expect. With the shared channel, the biggest caveat there is the ability to bring people who are not a team member into that channel. That's the, I would say, the, you know, the significant difference that you can.
And by that you mean contrasting it to a private channel. Like in a private channel, in order to be able to add somebody to a private channel, they must be a member of the team where the private channel is located. And that's kind of bitten us with some projects in the past. We've had people come to us and say, hey, I want to add so-and-so to this channel. And we're like, well, they got to be in the team first. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I've got half a dozen other standard channels. You mean they're going to get access to all of that stuff in addition to the private channel? Like, yeah, that's how Teams works. So,
and that's very, you know, that's very valid. We always talk about, you know, there's, put your trust in the platform. There's versioning and recycle bins and things like that, but they don't need to maybe see all the chat going on and things like that. So yeah, having a place to put some additional people into a channel that are not team members is what we're getting with shared channels.
And I kind of feel like you could stop there and be like, wow, mind blown. This is what we've wanted for the last 4 years is the ability to add a person to a channel, only to that channel. And so, yeah, I think we could just kill the recording. We're done. Congratulations, everybody. You get shared channels. But there's more to talk about.
There's, again, with Microsoft, there's caveats, things that aren't going to probably work out of the box. So those are the things we want to kind of definitely dive into.
Yeah.
And cover.
And I think the first thing we should talk about, I don't want to call this a caveat. I just want to call this is how it works. Like it's when you start dealing with these new channel types, and private channels have been around for a couple of years now, but when you start dealing with these newer channel types, you need to make a decision at the time of creation, because you cannot convert a standard channel to a private channel or a private channel to a standard channel. Like there's no way to do that. So that's a big thing that everybody needs to understand, is when you create a new channel in your team, you need to make a choice at that moment and say, like, what's the purpose of this channel? What's the intended audience of this channel? Do I think that I might need to bring people in from outside of my team? You know, and at that moment you need to decide, is this going to be standard, private, or shared?
One other thing to talk about here is with this shared channel is it's Just to clarify the part about somebody who's not a team member, you can bring people into this channel, into a shared channel, that are not in the team from your institution, your organization, but also externally. And we'll talk a little bit about what that takes, but that that also is important to kind of highlight, is bringing somebody else from outside your organization in. So they aren't necessarily, we're used to that with bringing in guests. You can create a guest account for someone and bring them into your team. They're gonna have access to the entire team when you do that. Again, this is just bringing in a single, you know, single person, something like that, into this shared channel from an external organization is part of the capability of this also.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, let's go ahead and talk about it, because a lot of the marketing out there, a lot of the, at least what I've seen, and maybe you've seen something different, but the stuff that I've seen, this shared channels or Teams Connect or whatever, you know, it might go by, has always been kind of like shown off as a way to bring in external users. And
yeah,
I don't know.
Say that's marketing. I say that's good marketing. From what we've seen.
Yeah.
I would say technically, sure. Absolutely. You know, obviously we've been working with this and testing that, it works just fine, but there is, we don't usually want to deep dive into a lot of technical stuff on this, but there is some technical pieces behind that that require, administrators running your Microsoft 365 environments in both organizations. They've got to do work. They've got to arrive at basically mutual trust between your two organizations. And that's probably some politics and some governance. The technology side is pretty straightforward. It's not, that's not hard. It's probably more around politics and governance with respect to that
absolutely
you're gonna want to work through.
Political hurdles are way harder than technical ones. So, yeah, I mean, we should probably call this episode, like, you know, real world shared channels, you know, or something like that, because while it does do a lot of external magic, it's not going to be a silver bullet to an alternative to inviting somebody into Teams as a guest. So we had an episode already on beaming guests into your Teams system. And you and I have a lot of experience with adding guests. I think the two of us are responsible for a few thousand guests. And so we're very familiar with that. And it's not a great experience. The experience of switching back and forth between organizations and teams is pretty clunky.
That onboarding process is, it can be clunky for sure. And there's been some improvements made switching tenants and speed, but
it's faster.
There's still that need. You switch to one other tenant, you lose concept of all your other teams existing. You're kind of in another world. So that's what shared channels is supposed to also assist with, is the channels that you have been, that have been shared to you from some other organization, would show up in your normal channels list, and making it very easy to
you don't have to switch.
Yeah.
And we've got a few scenarios that we're going to talk about at the end of this, that we've come up with, that might be more specific to hopefully our audience. So higher ed and extension agents all over the country probably have a login from their state university and maybe a login from their local county government. So I could see external share channels being helpful there. So we're going to talk about that, like I said, towards the end. So I don't want to ruin it. But let's go back to, so you can't convert, once you create a channel, you can't convert it. You can't convert, period. So you can't convert standard to private, private to standard, standard to shared. None of that works. You have to make that decision at the time of creation. And so the thing that we already kind of talked about, I'm going to recap real quick, is the private channel, your scope of who you can add to it are only going to be people who are a member of the team where the private channel is, versus a shared channel. You've got a few different sharing options, and they're very powerful. So you want to walk us through like the first one, like what, when you create a channel, what are you going to see?
So I think that's a good thing to talk about, is we've got, very similar to when we say you're creating a new team. We usually commonly talk about create a team, and the team wizard will ask you like, oh, your team's been created. Do you want to add some people right now? And our recommendation usually is skip that and go into your team. Think about the channels. Maybe there, you already know that there's going to be some channels you need. Maybe there's some settings you want to change around adding and removing tabs by other members or deleting channels by other members. Make those change, you know, make those settings now at team creation before you start adding people. Maybe create an announcement post. So that kind of stuff. The same concept with this, we think is probably going to be a good practice we'll talk about, is when you create your shared channel, initially you're going to have an option to immediately share it with all the other members of the team in which you are creating the shared channel. There's a little checkbox. You can very easily share it with everybody in that team. If you don't check that, well, it's basically sort of a private team at that point. So it's a little hybrid. It's basically a private team. And you can then, the wizard will take you to a point where it asks you, okay, who do you want to add? And at that point, I would recommend, I think, you know, we're going to tell people is just to skip that. And again, this is sort of becoming, I think you said, you know, it was like basically think of it as a team inside of a team. Go into that channel, maybe create an announcement post. You can also set some other settings, like can you mention the channel? Are you going to allow people to edit and delete their posts? So those are some things you want to go ahead and set. And once you get that prepared, that's when you can go in and decide to share that channel. And that's where the power, like you mentioned, come in. There's going to be basically three options for us. You want to walk us through those?
Yeah. And I'm glad that you kind of, I mean, that's one of our team's fundamentals trainings, is that we advise people on, is using that house analogy, is like, if you had your house and there was absolutely nothing in it, like no furniture, no decorations, no utensils, like would you invite a bunch of people in? You know, probably not. You want to get it set up first, then invite people into it. Same exact concept applies here. You know, have a welcome message, have your settings configured, although there's not a lot of settings that you can change in a shared channel, but there's a few that we could talk about. Get them set before you start adding people into it. But once you have your shared channel established, you have three options, really two, but you have some options on who are you going to share this with. And the first one is really simple and straightforward, and it's share it with another person. So you get the little picker where you would type in the user ID of another person you want to share it with. If you have all those ducks in a row, as far as like that stuff we talked about earlier with political hurdles and external organizations and all that stuff's been set up, you could type in, you know, Dwayne@cloudycounty.com or something like that. And if we had established that trust with each other, you could pick me and drop me into that channel. But mostly we're going to see this with internal user IDs, and you could pick anybody in your entire organization. And that's the big game changer right there. Like we said, is it's not like a private channel where I can only pick people who are in my team. You could pick anybody. And I think that's super duper cool. Like I said, we could just stop the recording now and be done.
One thing to add on that just slightly is, currently there's another, you cannot also enter a Microsoft account. You need to enter a work or school account. So it's not currently working with like a Hotmail account or a Gmail account, those kind of personal accounts. Supposedly that is something that they're working on. So
yeah, that's interesting, because I guess there's not really an organization there to trust, because it's just like Hotmail or whatever. So
yeah. You'd end up trusting all of Hotmail if you decided to do that.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Or not.
Like we said, some politics and governance you might deal with. So.
Yeah.
But right now, think of it as a work. We call it typically a work or school account.
Yeah. The second option that you see is where things start to get weird. This is like, there's been a lot of talk about the metaverse, you know, and that. Well, this is the multiverse. We're getting into quantum physics here and string theory and all kinds of Schrodinger's cat and all kinds of weird stuff. Like, can you exist in two places at the same time? Well, with shared channels, sure. So a shared channel, the second option that you have is I want to share this channel with a whole other team. So let's try to unpack this real quick and make it make sense. You have a, I don't know, common core channel that's used for distributing files and conversation, right? Well, an announcements channel, for lack of a better example. You could say, okay, this is my announcements channel, and I need to make sure that multiple teams see the content that's going to be posted in this channel. And Joe, you own one of those teams. And so I say, hey, Joe, I think this is going to be important. Your people need to see this information when it gets put in here. And you say, okay, send me an invite. So I go to my share channel. I select share this channel with a team. I type in the name of another person who owns the team that I want to share it with. So Joe has, you know, Joe's Marketing Ninjas is his team, and I share it with you. And then you receive an invite, you know, kind of like a, I don't know, unlike anything else that we get in teams, really, to be honest. You're going to get something in your activity feed that says, you know, you've been invited to a shared channel. Where do you want to put it? And then you have a decision to make at that point, right? Like, you need to decide as an owner, okay, what team. You might own 200 teams.
Yeah, and when I click that activity feed icon, there's an option to say, you know, basically accept that invite. And at that point, it's going to ask me which team that I own, do I want to put it in? And again, this is some of the thoughts that we usually have with, you know, generating teams and things like that. Is this is stuff you want to have already communicated with everybody involved. So you want to already have some communication with that person you shared with, you know, where you kind of expect that channel to go to. Because when they add it to a team, everybody in that team is going to have access to that shared channel. So I'm going to get this list of all the shared channel of all the teams I belong to and own, and I can drop that channel into any one of them. Now I could, you know, accidentally pick the wrong one, or something like that. So thankfully, there's one more piece to that puzzle of making this, you know, fully work. So once
it's
I pick a channel.
Like bi-directional, two-way trust.
Yeah,
right?
exactly. So once I pick one, I select it, it's not visible just yet. It goes back to the person who did the sharing.
And so I would get a notification that says, Joe accepted your invite for the announcements shared channel, and he dropped it into the, you know, facilities ninjas team instead of the marketing ninjas team. And I could look at that and say, oh, that's not right. And I could reject it. Or maybe I just say, whatever, Joe knows what's best, and I just approve it. So it's really cool. It's a really interesting trust thing that gets established where I send you an invite, you decide where it goes. I have to approve if that's actually where I want it to go. And so, you know, we're going to say, like, say no to spontaneously shared channels. Like, don't do that. You know, have a conversation with the person way in advance, coordinate this, get on the same page, then execute the sharing of the channel. Because there's a lot of moving pieces to it.
And one thing to call out here is that the channel, basically make an assumption that it's not only the channel name that the person you shared it with is going to see. Just make the assumption on both sides that they're going to see the team name also. Just be aware of that. In probably in our scenarios, it's not a big deal. Some people have made fun of maybe the corporate world between customers and big corporations and what you might name that team. So just be aware that that team name is probably going to come through and will show up potentially on both sides.
Yeah, it could get awkward if you're not being super professional with how you name your teams. Like, because I would see, you know, Joe accepted my invite and he decided to drop the announcements channel into a team named Dwayne is Super Annoying. And I would see that.
I would do that on purpose, probably.
Yeah. And I would accept it. So, yeah, just be nice, you know, just be nice in everything that you do and you'll be fine. So that's a really, what does this look like though? Like, so, cause with a private channel, you know, first of all, with a private channel, you only see it if you've been added to it. But if you have been added to it, it shows up in your list just like any other channel, but it has like a little padlock icon on it. So what does it look like to, you know, you've accepted my invite for the shared channel and you've added it to a team that you own that has, let's say, 25 people in it. What are they going to see?
Well, they're going to see, I would call it, is it a link? A couple links, like a chain link icon. And they're going to also have a notification or basically the team name is going to show up and it's going to say external. So it's going to be pretty well called out that this is a special, you know, this is a special channel that's going on. So, and if you've been added to like that first option you talked about, where you can just simply share a channel with a single person, that person you've shared it with, they're going to, like, you just shared a channel, but you didn't share the team. So what does that show up in that person's, you know, interface? There isn't just a channel floating out there somewhere in their list of teams. They will see that team name and they will see a single channel under that team name. They won't see the general channel.
To them, it'll look like they're just in a member, they're in a team that only has a single channel. Like, they're still going to see the team. And this is kind of an interesting wrinkle to this, is private channels were touted as a way to fight team sprawl. Team sprawl is where you look one day and you're like, I'm in 185 teams. And why is this happening to me? And it's because every time you wanted to change the audience of who you're collaborating with, you had to create a new team in order to do it. Private channels helped alleviate that a little bit. So,
and like you said, this is going to be interesting to see how this actually plays out, because I didn't really get added to, when somebody added me to a shared channel, I got added to that channel. I didn't get added to that person's entire team. But in my interface, I do see that team name and I see that channel listed. If I get added to 10 other shared channels in 10 other teams, I am going to see 10 more teams listed. Now, I'm not in those teams, but my interface is going to look like I've been added to 10 more teams.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how, again, so we're trying to get out ahead of this before it goes, you know, out of preview, is start thinking about how this is going to end up for you.
And we're just thinking out loud here on that, because that is kind of an interesting thing to take into consideration. Is it's not, maybe not necessarily designed to mitigate teams sprawl. You're still gonna have a whole bunch of teams in your list of teams. But again, we could have went all the way back to, you can now add somebody to a channel without adding them to your team. End of episode, and people would probably have been happy. So I don't want to ruin it by adding a bunch of other noise, but you know, we gotta hash this out so that everybody understands how this works, and our objective is to make it real and how you might use this in the real world. So
now you've got this shared channel, you're in there and you've got people starting to use it. One thing that is really cool now, we kind of alluded to this earlier in the podcast, is there is one new feature that you get with this shared channel that you don't get with private, and that is the ability to schedule meetings in our shared channel. So think of, again, your scenarios around trying to coordinate with people who are on your normal team, and usually the people who are in your team and you work with them closely, you probably know a little bit better about their schedules and things like that. Now being able to, those external people to your team, being able to participate in a shared meeting that occurs in that channel is a pretty big win for this service.
We had an episode all about channel meetings versus private meetings, and we said in that we were big advocates of channel meetings because I feel like they're very powerful, very unique. They keep everything organized. I really like them a lot. And so it was really nice to see that there was an option to schedule a meeting in a shared channel. Because yeah, private channels, you can't do that. And that was kind of a bummer. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if I could do it here, why can't I do it in the other one? So hopefully maybe they'll go revisit private channels and add that capability. But that is a really, really welcome thing to see. I think that's really going to make it a lot more useful.
And hopefully that carries through, again, talking out loud here, is what happens to chat in a shared channel. Typically, if you don't switch tenants and you're having a channel meeting, you might not have access to the chat that's going on if you haven't switched your tenant. And in this case, you don't have to switch tenants. So hopefully that might fix some chat issues we've seen with shared channel meetings. We'll have to find out.
Yeah. So we went through the first two options of sharing a channel, and I just want to cover the last one real quick because you kind of mentioned it at the time of creation. When you create a shared channel, there's a checkbox that's going to be checked by default that says share this channel with everyone on the team. So if you do that, it's going to show up in their list just like any other channel would. Now, let's say you unchecked that, and maybe you decide in the future, like, you know what, everybody that's in this team needs to see this. Well, what would you do? So when you go back to the sharing options for the channel, so you're going to click the meatball menu on the channel and say share channel. The third and last option is share this channel with a team that you own. So that whole dance thing that Joe and I had to do when I shared it with Joe and he got to pick a team where it went, like this, in this case, it's I'm just going to share it with a team that I own, and it's going to show up for everybody. So you could share it with, like, let's say you unchecked that box in the very beginning and you didn't want anybody in your team to see it. You could reverse course and you could say, okay, I'm going to share this with a team that I own, and I'm just going to pick the team right where the channel exists and share it with everybody here, or share it with a whole nother team if you wanted to, you know? So I think that whole announcements thing might be a pretty powerful use case, or core centrally controlled, you know, channel of some sort where we distribute common documents or something like that. I think that could be really powerful. And if I owned a couple of teams that needed to see that stuff, I could just make the call on, I want this team to see it, that team to see it, maybe this district team to see it. And I can make that decision, but there's a limit to that, right? How many can you share it with?
There's 50 other teams that you can share with.
Yeah. Which was a bummer to me, because
we were thinking statewide, potentially county. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Florida has 67 counties. And so we were like, oh wow, this would be super neat. We could, you know, the dean could make a channel and we could share it with all the county teams that are out there. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. So for a smaller state extension program, it would work great. But if you have more than 50 counties, I'm sorry, this won't work that way. But our state is divided into 5 districts. So you go from the county level, you roll up into a district level, and then from there you have the whole state. So you could still use it like that. It just depends on your organization and how you're structured. So we have 5 districts. Still, you could have the dean create a centrally managed core channel for announcements and content, and then push that channel out to those 5 district teams, which contain all the counties from those regions of the state, and they would all still get to see that information.
And that's definitely one of our scenarios we thought could be viable, that you take advantage of this. One thing, though, we talked about was the con for this a little bit that's not there is we don't have moderation for channels. So we like to turn often moderation on for like an announcement channel, more of a one-way push. That is not something that is available on a shared channel, is moderation.
That's a gigantic bummer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably
a perfect scenario you mentioned, would be great, but reducing some potential noise in that, where you're kind of trying to push one to many, might be something you got to work through, and some training there.
Yeah. At this point, that would be a people problem. You just tell people, don't post in here or you're fired. Well, that might be extreme. Don't post in here or we're going to have a problem. We like to turn on moderation, because moderation lets you, like, maybe you've got a communications group, and they're the only ones who are allowed to post announcements. And maybe it's a really big team with 1,000 people in it or something like that. You really need to turn on moderation. Otherwise, you're going to have people posting yard sale advertisements and asking random questions and, making mistakes. So moderation is a little bit of guidance, a guardrail that you can put up that will help guide people to the right place. It's kind of sad to see that not here yet, but it's still in preview. Who knows? Maybe by July they'll have it. I don't know. But
it's one of the minimally viable products. So it's going to get pushed out.
Yeah.
And there's just enough pieces for it to work. And hopefully, some of these things will have an opportunity to provide some feedback and get some of those enabled. That would be great. One more little con there, we're talking kind of announcements and notifications like that, is you're not going to get any type of notifications that you might miss in a shared channel are not going to show up in your missed activity emails. So if you do rely on those emails that show you things you missed in Teams, you won't get these. Anything that happens in a shared channel is not going to show up in your activity email. Whether you rely on that or not, but just to be aware of that.
Yeah, but you will still have the same level of control over per channel notifications. So we've talked about, we had an episode on notifications. and talked about how you can dial them up or dial them down based on your preference. And so you could go to a shared channel and to be clear, you're still going to get the same kind of, if somebody mentions the channel, mentions your name, responds to a post that you participated in, like those things are still going to push something to your activity feed. But you could go to the channel and you could crank it up. Maybe it is an important centrally shared announcements channel. You could say, I want to be notified anytime there's something posted here. But it's not going to make it into your email box, which I'm not really mad about, because it's Teams. you're supposed to be, it's a more modern way of communicating, and hopefully it lessens the number of emails in your inbox. So I'm not mad.
hopefully you won't miss that. One other thing that, again, we talk about this with respect to private channels too, are some things that you are going to miss in a shared channel, very similar to a private channel, is you're not going to get access to Planner, bringing in Planner as a tab, or working on group Microsoft Forms as a group in your team in that channel. You could bring in Forms as like a website tab if you wanted to. And maybe if you needed to do things like lists, like Planner, you could bring in Microsoft Lists instead.
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but we had an episode on that, right?
Must be good at covering things that that we know we're going to need.
It's all an accident. Trust me. There was a blog in the show notes for that Planner episode from another Microsoft MVP who talked about how you could use Microsoft Lists in lieu of Planner. And actually, he was not to get too off the rails, but he was advocating for Planner to be turned off and to only use Microsoft lists. But he had some great links in his blog that talked about how to move away from Planner for project management and move over to Microsoft Lists. And Microsoft Lists is supported in a shared channel. So you could do some basic project management in a shared channel. You just need to know ahead of time, like, you have to use lists to do it. That's not all that bad. That could be the future. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be the future. So,
yeah. Let's talk about a couple scenarios, because we want to bring this back down to real world applicability of shared channels. So, you know, the marketing is what it is, but we have already talked about the political and technical hurdles that would have to be, you know, like basically the stars would need to align for you to use this with an external person. In higher education, I could see this being really challenging. You're probably not going to get your university to trust every single other university in the country. In land grant, you're not going to trust every other land grant university, you know, so you're still going to see a lot of guests. You're just going to have to deal with being a guest in some cases. But let's say you've got a university, like we have another university, some friends of ours, that they said, well, we have two completely separate Office 365 systems. We've got one for students and one for faculty and staff. Or in our case, we've got one for the university and we've got one for the hospital. It doesn't seem too unreasonable to think that we've already got some trust there, and technically those two Office 365 organizations are owned by the same entity, that they could go ahead and establish that trust that's necessary with each other. And now you could add somebody from your hospital to a research lab team, and they don't have to go through all that rigmarole of switching, you know, organizations as a guest. And I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, I think, and those are some potentially politically doable pieces. You kind of own or are very familiar with both sides of those organizations and could hopefully work through some politics there if needed. I think I've seen some state university systems where they have multiple campuses that basically started with independent 365 tenants. And this could be a way, if they aren't working towards integrating them into a single one, or before they get to that point, this might be a way to bring them in together. Again, there's kind of an overarching ownership of those different tenants and probably could clearly work through the politics.
Yeah, Florida doesn't work like that, but we've got peers from North Carolina, Kentucky, you know, where they call it their state system. And so, you could very likely, I don't know how those are managed. I don't know personally, but if there's some sort of like higher power there that says like, okay, you know, we are all going to trust each other, that would really reduce a lot of friction, you know, of collaborating with peers at another university in the same system. And I think that's a good thing, for sure. Because that, again, guests work barely. So it's just not a great experience. And so having a channel from a team hosted by another school just show up in your list of teams without you having to switch and do all that stuff, I think is really, really, really powerful and a really good use case in higher education for sure.
Yeah. I think another one is maybe you've got a college level communications team or a college level web team or maybe a college level IT team, and you've got some departmental teams. Maybe you bring in from the communications team, they have a kind of a shared marketing material channel where they produce PowerPoints and slides for digital displays that can be used throughout the college. That might be a way you bring in a shared channel into those departmental college teams. Could do something like that.
Yeah.
You already mentioned, you know, maybe at the extension level, vice president, dean level, sharing out to districts.
I'd really like to see moderation, though, you know, to make that case, feel like the right thing to do, you know. And using it in that manner, we talked about team sprawl a little bit earlier, that using it in that way does actually mitigate teams sprawl. So that prevents that, you know, if we were sharing out an announcements channel to five district teams, that prevents the dean or the VP from having to be a member of five more teams, right? They just create their channel and they share it out to those five team owners and they're done. So that's five less teams that show up in your list. And the other side of that equation is those people who are in those district teams don't have to be in the VP's team. So that's one less team that they have on their list. So it does do a good job of mitigating sprawl, in that way.
And, having the ability to have that single channel is nice, instead of perhaps like that scenario you said that is producing team sprawl, is you could always do cross posting messages into multiple channels and teams, but then that's, you're basically breaking apart the conversation into multiple locations. So this, we like to talk about having, you know, you put a file in Teams, SharePoint, OneDrive, and share it out. You've got, you know, kind of one place to access that single file. This would be one place to access that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I've dealt with that in the past when we post about an outage or some quirk or something that's happening, and I will post an announcement and cross post it to a few different teams, but then I'm juggling replies in a whole bunch of different places. And if there's an update, you know, to the case or whatever, I have to respond to my announcement in however many places I shared it. So I'm basically copy pasting the same response into multiple threads, and I can see a shared IT update channel or something like that being pretty cool. You know, you got to think about it. You really got to think about how you structure teams and stuff like that, because, you know, that, remember, you can only share it with up to 50 different teams. So there's a ceiling there, and I can see it. It sounds kind of big, but I can see it being hit really quick. So keep that in mind.
Exactly. And I think, you know, at the early on, we started talking about there's definitely been some marketing around this. And we wanted to kind of bring this back down to some real world, you know, use cases and what we thought might actually happen. It's not gonna eliminate guests. It's not gonna eliminate bringing in guests and taking advantage of what you've been used to. We were thinking of one scenario we've had a couple teams we've used for virtual events where we bring in, you know, up to 1,300 guests from like 60 different organizations. And that team might have had 25, you know, 30 channels in it. And it'd be great if a lot of our problem was onboarding people, onboarding those guests. There was a lot of guests to onboard and get them to tenant switch and switch organizations. Well, it'd be great if they just shared a channel with them. But that's 1,300 guests, and that's 25 channels, and there's 60 organizations. That, you know, it's not going to happen. So, you know, guests are going to be with us for a long time. They have their place.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is not a silver bullet to guests, just like private channels were not a silver bullet to team sprawl. And it's just important to understand what your options are before you create stuff. You know, again, knowing this ahead of time, that's why we're doing this episode now, is so that you're prepared when you see this show up. We want you to know what your options are, what the ramifications of your choices are, and how you can best leverage these new technologies to get work done. So, and I think it's a good feature. I'm excited about it. Like I said, we could have stopped the episode 30, 45 minutes ago and just said you can add people to a channel now. and a lot of people would be excited about that. So I think this is an easy win for a lot of folks out there as far as how they work. And, you know, that's ultimately, it's here to make your life better. And that's a good thing. So
hopefully we'll see this see this drop in a couple months for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll keep watching that admin center, see if the timeline, you know, gets updated. But so I already said the word win, and you talked about a win in the first like 60 seconds. So Joe, hit me, man.
Start us off.
What'd you do?
Yeah, definitely got out of town. That was good. So
way
definitely had
town.
a great time up in South Dakota for a little vacation, doing some hiking in the Badlands and Black Hills. And did first time camping. I know I camped a few times as a kid, but it's been a number of years. So that was fun experience to get out and camp for a few nights. You're a good camper, Duane, so I appreciate your assistance with you know, some thoughts around what to take, what to bring, what to buy. So that's a part of the, you know, that was one part of the survivability I kind of implied was making it through those. Because there also was a winter storm that came through. So definitely we're prepared for 50s and 40 degree temperatures, but not the 30s. So didn't camp every night. And there was one hike we were on where we hit rain, we hit sleet, we hit hail, and we hit snow at the top. We got a good flurry of snow on the ground. So it was...
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Pretty.
I wouldn't be able to survive that. Florida doesn't have much of a winter. In fact, our forecast says that next week there's a day that I think the actual high, not like the real feel, but the actual high is like 102. It's gonna suck.
And I think today here we've got a real feel warnings of 100.
So, yeah, I got heat.
Some heat
exhaustion like alerts and stuff on my weather app. So yeah, South Dakota sounds great.
Yeah, Badlands are like another world. Definitely was not a place I'd been up to, that part of the country. So it was a great experience.
Cool, awesome. Congratulations on surviving. So my win, I don't know, this isn't a win yet, it's maybe a hope. We'll call it a hope. I hope that this is a win. But so we're going to be traveling next week. Shout out to the National Extension Technology Community. We'll be there in Arkansas, probably still sweating. But we're going to be presenting there, so that's going to be fun. But as soon as I come home, I'm going to be going to a camp. Volunteering as a teen counselor at a camp for an organization called Share the Love, and they have a program inside of it called the Teen Reach Adventure Camp, and it's a camp for kids who are in foster care, any kid who's been neglected, abused, or abandoned. And so me and four other guys are going to be in a cabin with six young dudes and trying to spend some quality time with them and do some activities with them. And I've been trying to prepare mentally, physically. It's going to be, from my understanding, hot and exhaustive. And there's lots of physical activities that we're going to be doing, team building exercises and things like that to help boost some confidence and show these kids that they matter. And so I guess my hope is that is a win. My hope is that I do well. So it's, I'm a little stressed, I'm gonna be honest. Never done anything like this before, but hopefully it turns out good. So maybe next month's episode, I can report on this as a win.
I'm sure it's going to be, especially with the camping, you're going to win there. So you've got that covered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's way too hot to camp though. I hope there's air conditioning in these cabins.
Well, that's cool. That's really great. That's I mean I'm sure that's going to be a win. That's super.
I'll let you know next month when we come back and talk about whatever we're going to talk about next. So, but this was fun. I think this is a really good feature. Like I said, don't normally talk about preview features. We even went long. You were worried about like, oh man, I don't know if we have we're at 58 minutes in the recording now, and we're still talking.
I know, because it's barely released, you know. It's like, how can we talk about this? But there's some good scenarios and some good caveats around trying to make sure that we help people implement it properly what, you know, in their best interest.
Yep, definitely. All right. Well, if you listen this far, wow, you're a trooper. Thank you for hanging out with us to this point. And we hope that you found this information super useful. And we hope that you're as excited about shared channels as we are. And, you know, it's quite a shift in how you use Teams, but it's important to understand. So if you made it, like I said, thank you. And we will see you next month for a new episode. Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Shift Show. If you found our content useful, please consider subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review. This will help others find our show. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us on LinkedIn or on our homepage at aka.my/shiftshow. We'll beam back next month for a new episode.
Transporter room, stand by to beam up landing party.